10. This we have a double parsha. Okay. Hope you're still there. Tazria Mitzora. And the first parsha talks about, starts off when a woman gives birth. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm quoting from the Medrash, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first,
hey! Shot.
Hashem started talking about a woman giving birth, and it says, Isha ki sazria. If a woman has conceived this seed. This brings to, he says, our notice, the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the unborn child. And he points out that when we think about miracles, the everyday miracles, the very fact that a fetus survives in a mother's womb, he says, is tremendously miraculous. It says there's a malach in change of conception called Lila. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring another person into the world, he tells this malach, bring me a neshama from Gan Eden. The neshama resents being taken out of the greatest area spiritually available. And the complaints, it says, Tzeth HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made me pure, you made me holy. And right now, I have an attachment to Kvod Hashem, to the glory of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. How is it that I now have to be, as he says, degraded and placed into a mortal human being? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells each neshama, you're wrong. He said, the world where you will go is greater in beauty from where you have been. Although in Olam Haba, the neshama enjoys undisturbed tranquility and bliss, yet this world has another element of greater beauty. That is, the neshama is enhanced with the ability to study Torah and to do mitzvahs, and thereby acting to acquire schus and merits. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I fashion the neshamas solely to be attached to mortal beings. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way compels a neshama to join a goof, a body. And the malach says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is going to be the fate of this neshama? And anybody still online? Right, the malach had asked Hashem, what's going to happen to this neshama? And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. The person will be male or female, like President Trump says. Two choices. Hashem will decide and will announce the degree of health or handicap. The appearance, the amount of intelligence, and the mental and physical capabilities, potential, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give this neshama. And it says it will even be said how much parnasa, how wealthy or unfortunately poor will be. So it seems that the physical situation of the new person has been decided. There's one thing that's never said. Hashem says we have to wait to see how this neshama will perform with its body to determine whether it will be a tzaddik or a rasha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will at the end determine how well this neshama and its attached body have used those attributes they were given. The Navi says in Yirmiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the wise man should not pride himself for being smart, the mighty man for his might, the rich man for all that he has accumulated. But let an individual take pride in one thing. That individual who knows that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I run the world with chesed, right? With mercy, with justice, with righteousness. And those are the only things a person should basically put their minds to. And the author of the Sefer says, he says, there's no pride that should be exercised on your innate talents, on your innate intelligence, strength, or money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that before you walked on earth. You know where you are able to make strides? To the extent that you're an Oved Hashem, to the extent that you engage in Torah and mitzvot, and in trying to do the ratzon of Hashem, trying to do His will, and trying to emulate those characteristics that we're told by Chazal we are to emulate in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know, and we've heard this a number of times, that the child in the process of living in the womb has a malach teach the child the entire Torah from beginning to end. And it says the embryo is given a spiritual vision of Gan Eden, Gehenim, and the malach says, become a tzaddik. Do not become a rasha. And we know that we're told that the malach tips the individual on the middle, right on the top lip, and all the Torah is forgotten. However, we're told that somewhere in our subconscious, it's there. And we're able to retrieve it later on by learning. He says, we're told about all the miracles at Yam Suf, that a Shifcha saw more than the Navi Yechezkel. But Chazal tell us the ability of the fetus to survive in the womb is greater than all that, or at least is equal. only Hashgacha Pratis could create a situation in which the fetus could survive. And the Chachamim say, if you want to try to understand this, let us give you a couple of points. We know that if, God forbid, someone goes into a scalding bathtub, there is agony, there are injuries. Chazal say the fetus lives 9 months in an exceedingly hot climate in the uterus, and no harm occurs because of Hashem's special providence. A woman carrying a child, they say, resembles an upright container where the opening that the child will emerge from continually stays open. Gravity should somehow remove the child. And it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the process of birthing that a child is never hurt being in that position. He says, we know that with repeated meals, the food we had for breakfast moves further down the tract in our stomachs as more food is ingested during the day. And he says he talks about the movement of the area within the stomach cavity. And he says, notwithstanding anything, the amount of food ingested by a pregnant woman never damages the fetus. The embryo is a miracle in that it sustains everything from the mother, I guess through the umbilical cords, that are necessary. And he says that, and I don't know what science says about it, but he says that in some ways the fetus excretes certain properties which would normally poison the environment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes these totally innocuous. Chazal say that the very fact that the process of giving birth takes time and isn't a quick propulsion out is again a method of rachamim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the gentle baby could not withstand a sudden ejection. Please mute.
And I'm watching it, I'm going, oh no, this is not helping you at all. Because I see you eating. I'm not talking all sweat. That's increasing your ass.
Hello?
Still on.
Okay, I can't. I told you, technology. I have quiet in the background. Okay. And the child is governed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that when the child enters the new world environment, the body has been created to be able to adapt to new aspects, the fact that breathing needs to be done and other things, right? And how is it that a child instinctively knows that it is to nurse from a mother. Again, something HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the child. And then he quotes one of the Chazal that says, we say that out of a single drop of a man's semen and a single little bit of a woman's egg, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates millions and millions and millions of different cells and a system that works perfectly. And as every gadol has always said, I defy a doctor or any scientist to come up with as intricate a creation as the human body, requiring so many, many, many factors working in perfect harmony. And they say, if you think about the human body, how can you not realize that there is a creator? And the child has an ability to grow, to nurture, and learn and function. And again, I guess what they're saying is that the probability of these things happening as often as they do, we call naturally, or the way they should be, is in itself a tremendous miracle. And as they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created creatures on the earth, the human being the highest of them in the order, somehow with an ability to create another individual. There is no human creator that can ever make anything that can basically make something that is the same as itself. He quotes from Chana, Shmuel Hanavi's mother, when she gives her Shira after he was born, and she says, Ein Sur Kalekenu, which we interpret as there is no rock like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Chazal say we've got to change the wording a little bit to understand what it means. Ein Tsayor, Tsior Kalekenu. There is no sculptor, creator, who is like Rabbeinu Shloilam. No one other than the Rabbeinu Shloilam could ever create any individual. And then Chazal say, the baby enters the world soiled, covered with blood and maybe other things, and continues to dirty itself. And normally, this should be repulsive. In other words, anything else would bother us. However, there's a natural love, first for the mother and the father, of this child. It's pure. And the reason it is, it says, is because at this stage of the game, the child only has a Yetzer Tov. It's only later on, at some stage, and I don't know where they say this occurs, that the Yetzer Hara becomes a reality within the person. And they say that's the first time that well-adjusted parents are capable of becoming incensed at a child. We're told, and I think we learned this in Bereshis, that originally childbirth with Chava was instantaneous after conception. And the child came into the world with the woman experiencing no pain. As a result of the sin of eating from the forbidden tree, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said women need to go through a process, and a difficult and painful process, of childbirth. And it says that in the future, presumably after Mashiach comes, the birth of a child will go back to the way it was with Chava. Pregnancy will be a split-second event. And we quote from Yeshayahu, who says, before the woman will experience travail, she will bring forth. Before she experiences any pain, she will give birth, it says, to a male child. Okay. Which is very interesting. And we have a few. I don't want to go into the next section, so I'll just mention a vort from Rabbi Friend on last week's Parsha, where we spoke about all that happened in the Kashmir. And we're told by Chazal, Rabbi Lehrfeld mentioned it last week, that eating tarfus, things that aren't kosher, is mitamtem halev. It, I would say, pollutes the heart. It puts tremendous levels of spiritual blockage all around the heart. And Rabbi Friend, he wrote this essay in 2013, and he says he recently heard Rav Beryl Wein Shlita talking. And Rav Beryl Wein was talking about the visible Timtum HaLev that exists today. And Rabbi Wein said, I looked at the statistical analysis of who gives to the federations. I guess maybe that's UJA. And he said, in 2013, 10% of people who identified as Jewish gave over 80% of the money to YJA. And he said, the vast proportion of Jewish people who don't even give to YJA indicate something. It means they've lost the Jewish connection. And my wine said, the many, many years of imbibing pig products, lobster, snails, and every other thing that Torah forbidden had its effect, and now we see we have Jews who have lost the feeling of tzedaka that even their secular parents and grandparents had still. And they would give to UJA, and they would give to the Jewish Fund, etc.